You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Greetings. Welcome back to another episode of Call for Caring's The Empowerment Hour. My name is Michelle Bolden, and I am your guide as we journey through caregiving together. The Empowerment Hour will bring inspiration, education, and resources to our audience of family caregivers. And we hope the information that you receive today, you will be able to apply immediately after listening to the podcast. We are in season three. And so in season three, we really do want to hear from you. So please share any of your areas of interest for future episodes, first by subscribing and then adding comments into the comment box. And you can start with today's episode. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Per the National Council of Aging, about 60 million Americans provide unpaid care to a relative or other person with a physical or mental illness. Caregivers of people with mental health challenges face unique challenges that make them more likely to experience stress or fatigue or burnout. The U.S. Surgeon General recognizes that the increasing number of young people challenged with mental illness and states that we really all play a role in making sure that we support young adults and helping them to thrive. And so when we are thriving as a community, that provides relief to the caregiver and the care recipient and provides that peace of mind. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I am excited to have join me in the discussion to welcome a mother and son duo, Phyllis Box and Anthony Box Jr. So welcome to the Box family.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about you. And so, AJ, I'm going to ask that, or Anthony Jr. Should I say AJ or Anthony Jr.?
AJ is fine.
AJ. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So AJ, so can you share a little bit about your background and your current work or where you're in school?
Sure. So my name is AJ or Anthony. I am a person that has been diagnosed with schizophrenia for 5+ years. I currently go to school in a Morehouse, and I'm a junior accounting major. But before I was here, I did some time at CVS, and that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. Okay. So you're working and in school. You were working and in school.
I was working and in school. Yeah. And now I'm going to school full time.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's great. And Phyllis, can you share about your background and current work?
Yes, I am Phyllis Box, Anthony's mom, and I am a health coach with Aetna/CVS Health. And I've been a health coach with Aetna for about 7 years now, but in the wellness space for about 14 years.
Okay, awesome. And you have your own wellness business, right?
Yes, I do. Feel good. And it is all about your health. So I've been with the help of Anthony in many ways, working on getting our Feel Good off the ground.
Okay. Awesome. That's great. I love the name. And so, AJ, let's start with you kind of sharing. You talked a little bit about your diagnosis. So can you share kind of about your health journey and, you know, even kind of when you noticed something was different in the beginning?
Well, sure. So I'm going to start when I first started noticing something different. Oh, let me start a little bit before that. I was just a regular kid, like pretty much everybody else. I played outside and I liked studying. I liked music, hip hop, rap. And I was going to school. And I realized something wasn't right when I was going to school in California to program. And I started hearing voices, and I knew something wasn't right. So I called my parents and I told them, hey, I think something's not right. And they immediately got me, thankfully, got me home to where we were living at the time, and I was diagnosed. But at the time, I didn't believe I was sick, which I think is a very common problem with a lot of people that have mental illness. And so for a couple of years, I had a whole bunch of episodes, but eventually, with the help of my family and my friends, I started on the path of healing by taking medicine, seeing a therapist, and really just accepting my diagnosis. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so grateful, and I'm almost in tears that you're even sharing this because it's going to help so many people. Not only just with that diagnosis, but any diag not only with that diagnosis, but any diagnosis related to mental health, because unfortunately, so many times, having diabetes or having hypertension is no different than someone having a mental illness. It's exactly the same, right? And so I don't know why we put a red flag on someone with mental illness. And so for you at such a young age to share this, I'm so grateful that you're doing it here. And, I love you dearly. And I'm just so proud of you for even expressing this today, really. And so it's a great conversation that I hope and families will have, because just like when you treat your diabetes, you treat your hypertension, you feel really sick up until that point. But once you treat it, you feel so much better and you're back to doing your normal things and all those things. And that's the same thing
Exactly.
with mental health. And so we have to do those same things as well. So Phyllis, I'm going to ask you to kind of share, because we d see different perspectives sometimes. So as mom, kind of, tell us a little bit about your journey from like the caregiving perspective or caregiver's perspective.
Sure. So when I initially noticed a difference in Anthony, I think it's when he came back from China. He wanted to stay home and be homeschooled for his last year in high school. And so we allowed him to stay home, but I started to notice a difference in him, not picking up on anything other than him wanting to isolate himself from people. But then he also was his normal self in the aspect of him participating in sports. So he continued to participate in sports and activities at school, but when it came to attending, he wanted to stay home. So he did have I don't he did have an illness. He was sick in China 2015. And so he made it through the program. I went there to visit with him. And then when he came home for that next semester, that's when I noticed a change. But it was nothing drastic. It's just I was thinking he was just getting readjusted to being back home. And then around graduation, I think from high school, I noticed also because he was isolated at home for a year, school, he seemed to be a little bit more isolated from other people. So, and I thought that was probably his growing pains from just being a teenager, because he must have been 16, 17 at that stage. So he went to Morehouse the first year and came home and said he did not want to go back. And then, so we made the adjustment and sent him off to California to a coding program. And that is when he said to me before Christmas, he didn't want to come home. And I thought that was strange. Why didn't he want to come home for Christmas? So we arranged for him to stay with a friend, Marcia. I think Marcia Gilroy. And she was happy to have him. So he was going to spend Christmas with her. And I still said, something's wrong. And not wrong, but it's strange that he didn't want to come home. And then he said that he started to hear voices, as he stated. He started to hear voices. And right away, I told my husband, Anthony, and I said, okay, I need to get out to California, because I knew then that that was confirmation that something was going on when you start to hear voices. So I went out, flew out that within hours of him telling me that he started to hear voices, and brought him back to Virginia and took him to a doctor. And they said it was, I think it was a schizophrenic form. Is that right, AJ?
Good. Yeah, the first form, and then I think later they said schizoaffective.
Yes, schizoaffective, right. So, getting on it right away, I think the initial, I was really not shocked, but recognizing that everyone goes through different things, and for him to be able to voice that he was hearing voices was very good for me because I knew how to respond and get him to some help. So that was what we did. We focused on doing that right away. And he did go through a stage of several months, maybe half a year, of denying or saying there's nothing wrong. I think it was more of people were doing things to him more so than him recognizing what was going on. Right. So, yeah. But so we did work together as a family. For several years, I think, because if I look at the dates, I think about the dates, 2017 to where we are now. Yeah, that's 7 years of, and he has come 180. He has gone from denial to accepting. Well, actually, he can explain the episode where he really realized when he accepted, before he accepted his condition. And then getting help, getting further help so that he can get to the point where he is now.
AJ, did you want to share that?
Sure. I'm more than willing to. So this was, I think, 2017 or 2018. I was hearing voices and I was very delusional. I thought things were happening to me that weren't true. I thought people liked me, or I think I had a crush on a girl that I hadn't seen in years. And my delusions told me to go to Massachusetts to see her. So I worked. I stayed with. First of all, when I got there, I didn't have a place to stay. I stayed on the streets, which is number one red flag, because who wants to stay on the streets when you could find someone to live with. And so I did that. My parents were really concerned, so they helped me find a place to stay. Eventually, around a month or so later, I did go up to see her, and it was not what I expected. And it was almost embarrassing to me at the same time, but it was also so it was an eye-opener, because I realized what's in my head is not all what's reality. And so I was able to seek mental health. I went to the hospital. They put me I was I went to the hospital, and I stayed for about a week or so, and I realized that it was more than just a diagnosis. It was actual condition.
Yeah, the reality set in, and I'm just it's when people hear this, there's so many people going through this scenario, and thankfully you respond in a way that eventually, it was a time period that things had to happen, but eventually they did. And so we just want people to know whether you're caring for someone or you're in this space that it can be better. You don't have to stay where you are, right? And so often, when we don't want it, and whether it's a mental diagnosis or if it's a physical diagnosis, when we're in a space that we don't want to accept it, then we don't want to hear that I'm a diabetic or I have high blood pressure. I don't want to take that medication because that's not me, right? That's not who I am. I'm better than that, and I don't need the medication. I can pray, I can do all these other things and it'll go away, right? Talk myself out of it. But sometimes God is giving you the gift of medication, of counseling, that He puts all these tools in your toolbox to help you, right? So to be able to accept those things is a huge, huge obstacle to overcome and allows for you to get on the other side of this. And so I just hope people hear this conversation and how today you can change kind of what you're doing in your pattern and what really is your reality. Phyllis, I think you look like you want to say
Yeah,
something.
I did. I was thinking of the blessing is that he would call me when the voices would get to be too much, and so I would pray on the phone. And so even through that episode of him trying going up to see his friend, and we found a family for him to live with in Boston, and it was short-lived, but even in that short period of time, he recognized, I think he was on his way back from moving from Boston back to St. Louis, because we were all in transition. We were moving to St. Louis at the time. And so he recognized before he got on the plane that he would not do well. I think the voices were too much. So he found, and you could tell the story, AJ. I think he found someone to help him so that he can get help and get to a hospital or somewhere where he could get help instead of getting on that plane and making a situation.
And that small space, and we're overprotective from planes anyway, so wow. Did you want to say anything, AJ? Did you?
Well, yeah, I think it's a God's blessing that I was able to. I mean, I knew something wasn't right. I came back from that situation a little distraught. I came back a little unsure about what was going on with my life. I the things that I thought were true were not. And it was kind of like it was a really good realization. And when I went to the hospital, when I went to the airport coming back from Massachusetts, I was not feeling well. I called my mom and I said, "Look, I'm not doing okay." And someone in the airport was asking me. They also realized that, and they asked if I was okay. And I got an ambulance and I went to the hospital. And that's when I really, ex really, truly accepted that things were not as I believed them to be in the beginning. So.
And when he accepted it, he wanted to tell the world. I know. And so I think that also is a blessing in it, because with anybody that asked him, he would tell him. Or anyone, he would, I think he even did some videos too on YouTube or something like that. But he was at the point that he was ready to accept it and fully accept it and then heal so that he can live a better life.
And the process of that's amazing that you wanted to help other people, because we don't talk about that, especially in African American communities. We don't talk about mental health. It's so taboo, and but it's a reality for many people, depression, anxiety, to be able to talk about that so we understand how to support one another. And so I think this is great that you're sharing this. So AJ, kind of tell me, like, I know you're taking the medication. So are there like tools or routines that kind of help you, or keep you help you now, continue to help you to kind of just meet your day-to-day needs and stay on target like you are right now?
So I mean, I would, like my mom said, I would have never been this. I mean, I would not have been in this situation without the routines I have today. The habits I have today. Before, I would stay in my room all day. Like she said, I like to isolate. And in those times, I was very manic. I didn't want to socialize with the world. But over time, just through my mom's help, she was working at home, so I would come downstairs, and she's like, "Oh, you have a doctor's appointment," and just every X amount of weeks, just looking forward to those doctor's appointments where they'd see my improvement. They'd issue medicine, and over time, I built up, and eventually, I was working a job, and that I think that's what took me off to the stratosphere. So I was able to not only look forward to doing something, but strive for something in the future. So I thought that was really great.
That is great. That's awesome. That is awesome. And so Phil, right now, as you were going through this 7-year journey, and even today, because you guys are in two different states now, I'm guessing that was even a challenge that you had to go from one state to the next, and it's kind of like letting the reins go, and after this 7-year journey. So kind of tell me, how has that impacted you, just letting them go, and then just your own wellness, your own mental, physical health as well, kind of going through this journey?
Yeah, going through it, it has been a challenge because we know, and before he left, I always said, AJ, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. And so I don't know if it's he calls me because I know he knows I'm missing or he misses us, but we talk regularly and I visit. We've been trying to keep it to every other month, but about every other month, Anthony or I would go, and that's not because of mental, because it's mental health, but just because they're new to their environment in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They're new to being like homeowners. Basically, mm-hmm. they're managing mm-hmm. a house on their, the two brothers are managing a house. Yeah. And so some of those are challenges as well as being a student. And so by us going and just being there with them to help support them, I think that kind of lifts some of that burden. Because I know AJ wanted to make sure that he's doing he's doing what he set out to do, and that is to finish college and finish well. And so he has taken on the challenge, and then that has helped me to step back too. So okay. I send them prayers every morning. All three yeah. boys, I send them a prayer every morning, and we
awesome.
Talk. So that helps that we stay in communication.
Yeah, and I appreciate the prayers. It keeps me grounded. It helps me realize what I'm here for. So it's good.
That is awesome. I love it. That is so wonderful. Just the support, even from a distance, is awesome. And, you know, not all families are like that. And so you have to be able to give the support they're willing to receive, because sometimes that can be seen as overstepping. So everyone has to be able to kind of feel where you are in that relationship with the other person to be able to do it every day or do it once a month, or, you know, what that looks like. And relationships develop different ways. And so you just have to find what is your support for your loved one, whether it's a mental illness or physical, to be able to support them, especially when they're a young adult, because you're dealing with a couple of different things. You know, they want to be on their own and do their own thing, and you don't want to try to control them. You don't want them to fall off the rails, but, you know, sometimes they have to. And that's hard to do when you're a parent, and you've been watching them progress, and you want to make things right for them. But sometimes we just have to step back, and I'm just talking personally. It's hard to do sometimes, right?
Right.
So we love them and we want them to do well. And sometimes they just have to do well in their own way, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're going to do now, we're going to take a short sponsor break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Call for Caring Incorporated, in partnership with Bellevue Baptist Church and the Alpha Eta Chapter of Chi Eta Phi Sorority Incorporated, presents the 2024 Chicago Family Caregiver Expo. Family caregivers will have their cups filled with resources from over 35 vendors, empowerment through expert presenters, self-care through health screenings, vaccines, manicures, and massages, transforming experiences through yoga, meditation, and virtual dementia tours, care scholarships for respite care, song and music through the Caregiver Celebration Concert. Join us Saturday, June 8th, 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the Bellevue Ministry Center, located at 10715 South Halsted Street, Chicago. Register today at callforcaring.org.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Phyllis and AJ Box, the Box family, today. And again, thank you for sharing your journey and just the great conversation we've been having and the information that's been shared, the open and honest conversation that's happening. We really appreciate that. And so as we go on the other end of our conversation, let's talk a little bit about kind of recommendations for our listeners. And so, AJ, what recommendations would you offer family caregivers who are caring for a loved one who's facing those mental health crises or challenges?
I really think just letting them know that you are there. Some people, everyone's in a different part of their journey. Some people want to be more or less independent, and they thrive in their independence. But some people, they need that 24/7 care, and they always need that, need someone to just be, not even if they're in the same room, but just around. So just let someone know that they're appreciated, and that there's someone there looking out for them. And number two, for the caregiver, just give yourself a break, I think, because I think being myself, I know sometimes I can be a headache. And I know my mom wants to sometimes wring me by the neck, but hey, just give yourself a break. Come back to it when you're ready. So,
love it. Great. So Phyllis, what recommendations would you give the family caregivers if they want to implement or maintain a self-care? AJ just talked about giving yourself a break. And, you know, even why is that so important that they need to do that, have a self-care routine?
Yeah, I think it's really important for your own mental health. And as AJ said, give yourself a break. That break could be taking a deep breath, doing mindfulness practices is one that I love to do, whether that's meditation or deep breathing exercises on a regular basis, so that you can, sometimes you have conversations that are not pleasant with that person that you're caring for. And so you can take a break and go take a deep breath and come back to it. Walking, just exercise in general. Some people, even I would say reading helps too, just giving yourself that time, as AJ stated, taking a break. You can take a break to read or listen to some music, but definitely taking care of yourself is important, because, you know, it can be taxing, but it also there's a lot of joy in it too, because of the hard work that we put in, and seeing where he is now, it was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
Absolutely. Awesome. So can you all share, I think you shared a little bit, but are there like two actions that you recommend family caregivers take immediately after listening to the podcast? And AJ, I'll let you start.
Okay, sure. So a lot of the time, I felt as if I was the only one dealing with my situation, because I was the only one going through it. And I did appreciate the help from my family, but I like to look outwards and see if people are safe, see people that are going through similar situations as me. So that may not always be reaching out to the nearest organization, but maybe just going on YouTube and looking up someone else that also has similar situations, maybe writing a comment, and maybe building up, maybe going to a NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness group. And there's so many resources out there. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Phyllis, you have two recommendations you want to
I do have. One is that NAMI, which AJ mentioned, is a really good resource. Okay. And then something they can do right away is check with their insurance, if they have insurance, to see how that can support them as well with mental health. There are some, where I work, there's 24-hour lines where you can call and talk to someone. As AJ was able to do, he was able to talk to someone. So yeah, check your insurance and check with the other resources like NAMI.
Absolutely. And I do want to add a couple of things. One is the 988 number is a mental health crisis number. So instead of dialing 911, you now dial 988. That's national, just like 911. It is a national number, and they will connect you with a resource that's there for mental health crisis. And so again, 988 is that mental health crisis number that you can always reach out to if you need to. And then the other is I just want to kind of tag along with what AJ was saying about sharing your experience and what you're feeling and what you're going through. Because if no one knows, sometimes you miss the resources that are available to help you, right? And you think you're alone, but it's so many other people that are having these challenges who may need some assistance. And just asking the questions or sharing how you're feeling or what you're hearing and what you're thinking can allow for the doors to be open for you to get the help that you need as well. And so it's just really important that we begin to share. And if you are a family caregiver, you're a family member, you're a friend, and you see changes in a friend, say something, identify it, even to them or another loved one if they can't see it. Because particularly if they're in another state, maybe their family can't see them every day, but you can. So kind of speaking up and helping our friends, our family members, it's just really important as well. And so you all mentioned one site. Are there any other websites, phone numbers, social media that you follow? I'll start with you, AJ, that kind of helps or, you know, you recommend people check out?
Yeah, there's a really good channel. She talks about schizophrenia. It's on YouTube at okay. Living Well with Schizophrenia. It's a young lady. She talks about her experiences. She gives it raw and unfiltered. Sometimes okay. she's going through very troubling situations. Sometimes she's at her highs. So you get to see everything and somewhat sympathize with her and say, wow, I mean, in any situation, I bet you could relate to some steps and say, wow, there's been points where I'm low and points where I'm high. And right. so she just talks about, and she does offer information for caregivers as well.
Oh, awesome. I love that. That's great. Oh, Phyllis, did you have any other sites you wanted to add?
Jesus Christ, prayer.
Call them on the hotline.
call them all the time. That is my hotline.
That is awesome. I love it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So if our listeners wanted to get in contact with you, is there any ways that they can do that? Or did you want to share anything like that?
It's up to AJ if he wants to, because I know he would be a very good person to talk to other people. So
just maybe even some social media. Maybe they can check you out on social media. You want to share just maybe one of your social media handles?
I am very anti-social media. I have LinkedIn, but I'll give you my email, my Morehouse email. It's anthony.box@morehouse.edu. I'm happy to email and answer questions that I am qualified for. A lot of them I'm not. So some of those you have to see a doctor. Right. I also love hearing motivational stories, and I do like hearing people that struggle. So either way, I may have something, resources for you as well.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much. This has been such an amazing conversation. AJ, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, you met your goal of coming to Morehouse and doing it well. You absolutely did this year. And so I'm really excited for you. And so you're just proud of your mom as well for the journey that she supported you now. And even, you know, your brothers along the way here. And so, you know, we do the best we can with the tools that we have, and they are doing an amazing job. So thank you both for coming on and having this sincere conversation. I so appreciate you all.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So the Empowerment Hour is presented by Call for Caring. Our organization supports family caregivers through resources like today's podcast, our expo, courses, and grants. We are excited that we are headed to our first Chicago Family Caregiver Expo on June the 8th. You can find out more information about the Chicago Family Caregiver Expo, our Caregiver Day Out, our upcoming classes for the City of Sandy Springs at callforcaring.org. So today's episode can be heard on Up to Me Radio or your favorite podcast platform. You can also view some of our earlier episodes and expo events on our Call for Caring YouTube channel. So we hope today's episode of the Empowerment Hour has met our goal to educate, elevate, and empower caregivers during their journey. Thank you.